This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. Please open your King James Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 18, verse 1, where we left off last time. Judges, chapter 18, verse 1. These last five chapters in the book of Judges might be called an appendix. God had appointed men and women to be the judges of Israel over a period of time, and they were to set things in order and to keep the nation who was now in the promised land obeying God's word and keeping order and everything low in the land. But there was time between the judges. So these last five chapters tell us of the most amazing experiences the children of Israel had when there was no one to keep them on the straight and narrow. You know, sheep will wander off very quick. I've seen people wander off from Sunday to Wednesday, then Wednesday to Sunday. And so they would just wander away. Last week we had an illustration of a man named Micah. He was a true Israelite, seed of Abraham. A Messiah was going to come through that lineage, and did. And he thought he was doing a holy thing, so he had a graven image built, he had a molten calf built, he built a priest vest, and he had a teraphim, which is a little god. And he put it in his house, and he called it Micah's house. And then he said, no, I think I'll call it the Lord's house. Why don't I call it a church? And then, lo and behold, this Levite priest pops up at his door and says, hey, I'm out of job. They don't have any churches anymore. They've forsaken God. No temples there. Do you need a priest? And he said, oh, yes. So he said, boy, do I have it made. God is going to love me. So it was called Micah's house. So he hired the Levite priest. You know, it's kind of like what he was doing. Micah did have a heart toward God. The true Israelites loved God, but they had no teacher, so they would get their doctrine and theories all crisscrossed with the culture of that day. It's kind of like in the body of Christ. I read or heard not too long ago that some of the Christian churches are removing the crosses and are installing Islamic prayer rugs to make the Muslims feel welcome. Well, the Muslims are welcome to come to the Christian church, whosoever will may come, but we're not going to put your prayer rugs to another god in there. You may come in and receive the one who died on the cross, and he loves you, and we love you too. So what they've done, he did all of this. He actually thought he was doing a good thing. God was aware that Micah was trying. That's where we left off last time.
Judges chapter 18, verse 1. In those days, there was no king in Israel.
Okay, there was no one to tell them what to do, no dictator, there was no spiritual leader. Every man was trying to find God the best way he could.
In those days, the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them.
Okay, now remember there are 12 tribes and one of them is Dan. All these are the children of Israel, and through these people, these 12 tribes, will come the Messiah, and he did. But, so Dan's over there, there's no law keeper, and he says, you know, we don't have a property. All the other tribes have got an allotment. Wait a minute. When I was teaching you Judges chapter 1, do you remember that God did give Dan some property? Dan never even got in. God said to all the tribes, okay, each one of you has got your place in the promised land, but the devil took it, so the devil's kids are in there. You go in there, and you fight the devil's kids, and you get rid of them, and you take back what the devil has taken from you. Dan did not fight. They said, boo to him, and he ran. They probably held up a head they'd cut off, sounded like ISIS or something. It scared him to death. Dan ran. He never did even get into his allotment. The Amorites ran him off. Then he took to ships. You've seen those old big Danish ships. And so he was just kind of going around in circles in his ship. Row, row, row your boat. But now he's saying, okay, we don't have a dictator here. I believe I could find some people that we could take their land in the children of Israel. Maybe some people who are not warriors. For you see, the Danites were great warriors. So they're looking for some land to steal. See, everybody in the body of Christ, you have a place in the body of Christ. Paul gives us an example of the body. The spleen does not try to be the heart, and the kidneys don't try to be the colon. And I know your foot would not want to be your mouth. You know what that would be, foot and mouth, okay? And so, see, but what you try to do many times is you try to take over another person's territory. But to each one of us has got to go through the hell of overcoming, overcoming, overcoming. That's why he says over and over, overcome, 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 overcome. You say, well, I don't ever have anything to overcome. The devil doesn't bother me. That's because you're not bothering him. Bother him a little bit, I sure you get you, especially if he sees you going to win souls and get the word out to the world. And so you have to overcome. But there is a place for everyone, and you can overcome. God doesn't want wimps. He wants you to be warriors.
Among the tribes of Israel, verse 2, and the children of Dan sent of their family 5 men from their coast.
Okay, so the Danites, they actually had, Numbers chapter 26 says that there were 64,000 warrior age of the Danites. They had a big tribe, not to mention women and children, elderly and little ones and everything. But they're going to send out 5 spies, first of all. They said, now I want you to go and spy out the promised land. See if you can find the weak links. Go look in the land of God over there and see if you can find some people in that church, in that body, who go to church. They're there, but they don't do any good. They never attacked anyone. They're easy pickings. We could easily take them. Spies. Now, soon and very soon, the Antichrist is coming, and he's bringing his fallen angels with him. They are lookers and they are kings, Revelation chapter 12. And he's sending them out as spies. They're going to come into the Christian churches like this, and they're coming to spy you out. But it's not just going to be they're going to. Satan has already sent out his spies. They come to every real truth church, Christian church there is. Sometimes they come in the actual form of a demon. Some of us can see that. Sometimes they come, they try to pretend to be a human body, but I can always spot that. They never have a telephone. Their phone doesn't work. And then sometimes they come in a Christian who's just gone on and let the demon take them over completely. But they come to check you out. And they're checking you out just before Satan comes as the Antichrist. The fallen angels will do the same thing. That's why Paul said, women, have your head covered with Christ because of the angels. Make sure you've got the word of God so you won't be deceived. So what are they spying? What are they spying out in the land of the Christian Church of the United States of America? Well, look up there. There's somebody wants to one-upmanship, wants to say, I know this man or this woman's been working on this and slaving and building, went through everything and built this thing from scrap, God's ministry, and been through hell and back. But boy, I could just come in here and take this over. All the hard work's been done, and I could stand here and I could do it better than they. That's what I could do. So they notice that. So then when the Antichrist comes, that Christian they can go to and say, you know, Jesus is here now, and you're right about that. How about we give you this big church, and then you can have it all. Yay! Got it. Now, how you to spy out the Christian that goes to church every time the door is open, is sweet and nice, and reads the Bible. But they watch that the person never does anything with the Bible. There's never a report of winning a soul to Jesus or any kind of exciting adventures or going out of their way to do anything good for anybody. Just a kind of a boring life. So they say, there's someone that, you know, at least they do read the Bible, but they don't do anything with it. They're kind of storing it like little crumbs on a paper plate. But I know what we can do. We can just tell that person that their life's kind of humdrum, in a rut. They just go to church in a rut. We can say, we got somebody exciting for you. We got some adventure for you. Boy, we got the best for you. Got them. They're also spying out God's very elect men and women, chosen before the foundation of the earth, have the power of God in it, the word of God in it. We know as we turn on a dime, we can smell them. They can't have us spying out the land. That's happening all over the United States of America today. Does it happen in here? On a regular basis. But I have to tell you, they get beat up pretty soon. They don't come back.
Nineveh from Zoar and Eshtaol, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said unto them, go search the land. And when they came to Mount Ephraim, the house of Micah, they lodged there. Verse 3, when they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man.
Okay. So these five spies go to the house of Micah. By now, house of Micah is very famous. I mean, he's closest to thing to a man of God. At least he's got a priest vest in there and supposed to have a Levite priest. But they didn't have motels, and so they would stop at a place like that to just rest overnight. So all roads lead to Micah's house. So they stop by Micah's house, and now he's got his own paid Levite priest. Remember, he told him he'd give him a pair of new, set of new clothes every year before his priest. And so the five spies hear the young Levite priest doing his priestly duties, and they noticed that he had an accent. Now, the Ephraimites have an accent. If you remember, I was teaching about Jephthah. The Ephraims, God's own people, got it mad at Jephthah, God's own person. And the way that Jephthah outsmarted Ephraim was to trick them by their accent. Jephthah, to know whether they were trying to con him or not, said, say Shibboleth. They couldn't say Shir, so they would say Sibboleth. Their accent betrayed them. So these here, a priest in there, a Levite priest in Micah's house, and he's got that accent, and they say, what's he doing here?
Right. And they turned in thither and said unto him, who got thee hither, and how then makest in this place?
How in the world did you get here into Micah's house? How are you a priest here?
And what hast thou here? Verse 4, and he said unto them, thus and thus.
I am so grateful to God that he said thus and thus. Or we would have to go back and read all those verses telling the priest adventures there. What he means, he reported to them the whole story of how he got there.
Did Micah with me and hath hired me, and I am his priest. Verse 5, and I said unto him, ask counsel, I pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way we go shall be prosperous.
Here's what they said. Oh, you're a priest. Listen, tell God to bless us. We're going to go steal some property from God's children and ask God to bless us. It's our agenda. Ask God to bless our agenda. Lots of Christians have agendas that are not God's agenda. I always say, if it's not of you, God, don't bless it. I don't want to do anything like that. And that's what they're asking. See, they had their chance. They had their territory. They blew it. Did you know God has a law of use? If he gives you something and you don't use it, you lose it. Remember, he took that talent from that man and gave it to another? Okay? So they waited too long to try to get this. But they're asking God, oh, Levite priest, tell us God's going to bless us. Now, let's see what the Levite priest is going to do. Is he real, or is he going to give them what they want to hear?
Verse 6, and the priest said unto them, go in peace, for the Lord is your way wherein ye go.
He just purely made that up. In the body of Christ today, almost every time you turn on Christian television, the word of knowledge is being used. And people do love to hear word of knowledge. Any of us do from God, truly from God, a prophecy. We operate in those gifts here. We wait for that. But I want you to know that the word of knowledge and the gift of prophecy is not always pretty to tell you that you're going to get this and get that. Sometimes it says God's taking a jackhammer to you. If you don't straighten out, it's going to call you out. I've actually had him tell me to tell people things like that. In other words, people make it up and say things that please you and tickle your ears. You don't want to be there. If you have that gift, watch it carefully. And you can use discretion sometimes, but you must always tell the truth. What God says to tell the person, you must tell them that. Don't make it up.
7. Then the 5 men departed and came unto Lachish and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless.
Careless means safely. So the 5 spies go over to this land. They see these people wandering about in Lachish. The people were true Israelites. That was their land. They took that land. And they lived peacefully. They were not warriors. They had no spears. They had no knives. They were kind of like in a daze, walking around, sleeping. And they didn't have any close neighbors. A piece of cake. Warrior Dan, boy, we could come and slaughter them all and we could take over their property. The Antichrist is coming, Revelation 13, and the whole world is going after him. There won't be one part of this planet that he is going to give to anyone else.
After the manner of the Sidonians.
The Sidonians were a colony. They're probably the people of Lachish were Sidonians. They were into commerce and trade, but they were gentle people. They were not warriors.
Quiet and secure. And there was no magistrate.
There was nobody. There was no law. It was disorder. In other words, the Danites said, if we go and kill them and take their land, there's no police officers going to come up there. There's no anybody, you know, dealing with illegal immigrants, because that's almost what Dan was at that point, to put us out of here. Lawlessness.
The land that might put them to shame. And they were far from the Sidonians. They had no business with any man. 8. And they came to their brother, to Zoar and Eshtaol.
That was Samson's place.
And their brethren said unto them, what saw ye? 9. And they said, arise, that we may go up against them.
So the 5 spies go back to Dan territory, and they tell the authorities, get up, it's a piece of cake. All we have to do, we can go wipe them out. Now, as I told you, Numbers 26 says there were 64,000 warriors in the tribe of Dan. That's not women and children. So they are going to just send, actually we're going to find out, 600. They think it's so easy. These people are so asleep, they're not aware that danger's on the way. How many of you Christians are sitting snugly in your bed watching your TV and playing with your computer, and you don't even know that the 5th trump is almost over?
For we have seen the land, and behold, it is a good land. Are ye still?
I love this. It's God's sense of humor. Are you still? In other words, I just told you, rise, get up, it's the good land. Are you still? Are you still sitting there? It's kind of like when I finish my program and I'll say, okay, go and blow the trumpet of truth. I would like to say, are you still? Why don't you run out of the door and go tell somebody? Why are you still sitting there? Get up and go. We've got to miss ours.
Be not slothful today to enter and to possess the land. 10. When ye shall go, ye shall come to a people secure, unto a large land, for God hath given it to your hands.
They actually believed that God had given it to them. And you see, when the Antichrist comes and calls himself Christ, and he cons half of the body of Christ, 5 are wise and 5 are foolish, and then gives them promotions. I mean, Jesus will be up on the stage with them and accept to be the fake Jesus, and they'll really be big shots in the body of Christ then, and they'll think they deserve, God gave us this great honor, and all the while it's the devil. Make sure who's giving you your good gifts.
A place where there is no want of anything in the earth. And there went from thence the family of the Danites out of Zoar and Eshtaol, 600 men appointed with weapons of war.
Okay, so they select 600 warriors. The five spies are going back with these 600 warriors from Dan to take over the land. Six is always a number of the devil. The devil was six in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, the first earth age. He wanted to be God, so he rebelled and said, I will be God, in Isaiah 14, but he was still a six. Seven is God's number. The devil was a six in the garden. He wanted to be the first father. He wanted to thwart and abort the Messiah from coming through. So he had a son, but he was six, and he wanted to be a seven. The devil is coming soon with this Jesus costume instead of Christ. He's coming back as seven, but he's still a six. Six, six, six. The two zeros there mean the whole. So this is talking about the spies that are coming to the Christian church right now, demons, people, demonic forces, the fallen angels coming, checking out Christian churches, spying out. When Satan comes, he's going to send all of his children into the Christian church. It'll be a great big revival and just take over, and everybody will think he is Christ. Antichrist means I'm the Christ, instead of Christ. You understand?
Yes.
Not against, but instead of. So here we have, and just take over the whole world.
Well, and they went up and pitched in Kirjath-Jearim in Judah, and they called that place Mahane-Dan,
the place of Dan.
Unto this day, behold, it is behind Kirjath-Jearim.
To the west.
13, and they passed thence to Mount Ephraim, and came unto the house of Micah.
All roads lead to the house of Micah. So now the five spies, plus their 600 warriors, come and they park there at the house of Micah.
And answered the five men that went to spy out the country of Laish, and said unto their brethren, Do you know that there is in this house an ephod and teraphim, and a graven image, and a molten image? Now therefore consider what you have to do.
Okay, so the five spies say to the 600 warriors before they go to Micah's house, Listen, there's a secret in here. There's a church in this house. We got graven image, we got a molten image, we got a priest vest, and we got a teraphim. And that's not all, we got a priest in there. Now you coming and you taking over your new land, you also want to have your own church. You want to have your own priest. So think about it. Do what you need to do.
15, and they turned thitherward and came to the house of the young man, the Levite.
Okay, so they go, the Levite's house, you see, is right there in the commune with Micah's house, and the Levite has his church services in his.
Even unto the house of Micah, and saluted him. 16, and the 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. 17, and the five men that went to spy out the land went up and came in thither, and took the graven image, and the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image.
Okay, so the 600 warriors get up to the gate of the young priest's house there in Micah's house. The five spies just go in and take all of the church things. That's it. In other words, Antichrist takes over. He takes over all of the church, a one world order, a one world religion. He will be the Messiah. The devil will, but he'll call himself Christ. And so he'll take out anything that he wants out of anybody's church house.
And the priest stood at the entering of the gate with the 600 men which were appointed with weapons of war. 18, and these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved images, the ephod of the teraphim and the molten image. Then said the priest unto them, Brother, what do you?
Poor little priest there said, what are you doing?
And they said unto him, Hold thy peace, lay thine hand upon thy mouth.
You know what this is in the Hebrew? Shut up. So, the Antichrist will say to the true priest, the Zadok, shut up. Two witnesses will not shut up. So the Antichrist will kill them. They will arise from the dead, and that will usher in the second coming of Jesus. All people teaching the truth's voice will be shut up. In other words, I am God now, says the Antichrist. You will say what I tell you to say, and you will not say what I tell you not to say. Now, when the very elect had delivered up to the Antichrist, our very purpose for coming through our mother's womb, it wasn't for your dog, it wasn't for your family, it wasn't for your money, it wasn't for your fun. That's why you're living and hearing this now. We delivered up to Antichrist. Jesus says, do not premeditate what you should say, but the Holy Spirit of your Father will put his words in your mouth. He'll give you in that same hour what you ought to say. And when we speak, the whole world will hear in its own dialect. And Jesus says, and then the gospel shall be preached to the whole world, and then shall the end come. Now, the unforgivable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. If an elect, remember we are few and far between, 7,000 only, little number, Romans 11. If an elect refuses to let Holy Spirit speak through them, if you get cold feet, that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and that is the unforgivable sin. To whom much is given, much is required.
And go with us. And be to us a father and a priest.
Father means be a spiritual counselor. I don't know how they thought he was going to counsel. They're going to tell him what to say. Hey, I'd like to have some advice today. Now, here's what I want you to advise me, okay?
Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or to be a priest unto a tribe and family of Israel?
Now they're going to use a little con job. Listen, you're just a priest here in Micah's house. You got Micah, you got his neighbors, and a few people here. Well, you could be the priest of the largest, one of the larger tribes. We got 600. We got 64,000 people, men, just men in our tribe. Wouldn't you just think you could get a new outfit every month instead of once a year?
Verse 20, and the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image and went in among the midst of the people.
So it didn't take too much to twist his arm, you know, and then the Antichrist will say, you know, I mean, after all, you just didn't quite understand it. Just think, you could continue in this great big church if you worship me. And you can have all of these wonderful things. We have peace and safety. So many of the priests and pastors in the Christian church will say, okay. Because you know, if you went in it for the money, you'll be delighted to take the money Antichrist will offer you.
Verse 21. So they turned and departed, and put the little ones and the cattle and the carriages before them.
Okay, so the 600 men, they came to colonize. They just knew they were going to break. So they brought their wives and children.
22, and when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men that were in the houses near to Micah's house were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan.
Okay, the neighbors of Micah that went to Micah's church there, they all got Micah, and they went to run down the 600 men. Give us our church supplies back. Run them down.
23, and they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces and said unto Micah, What aileth thee that thou comest with such a company?
Watch somebody who's a crook. They always act on the offensive. What ails you, Michael? Why are you chasing us, say the 600 men? What ails him? You just took his church.
24, and he said, Ye have taken away my gods.
You've taken away my gods, little G. Boy, I'm telling you, you're in trouble if you got to have a god you can hold in your hand.
which I made, and the priest.
But that was everything to Micah. He was trying for God. God does know when a heart's seeking him, and he'll be more patient. If you're really seeking him, and you seek him with all your heart, you'll eventually find God.
Gone away. And what have I more? And what is this that you say unto me, what aileth thee?
And you say, what aileth thee? You took everything that meant anything to me.
25. And the children of Dan said unto him, let not thy voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run upon thee.
They're still bullies. Don't you mess with us, Micah. We'll come and beat you up.
And thou lose thy life.
Nice neighbors, aren't they? Coming in. We're going to take over some of your territory, and we're going to be this mean, too.
The wives of thy household. 26. And the children of Dan went their way. And when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back into his house.
Micah saw that there was nothing he could do that. Rather dejected, he went back to his house. And so we'll begin right there next week. I do pray that some of the deeper spiritual meanings touched you today. It's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing real good, Miss Sherry. That was a awesome description tonight. I mean, awesome. Just a great word and a word from now, too.
Right now.
Yep.
Sure is. Thank you.
Okay, our first question. Genesis 1:2 reads, and the earth was without form and void. How could God create anything that's void?
Actually, nobody can create anything void. Void means empty and no form. Even the worst artist in the world would have something there. You know, might be a blob, but it would be something. What it is, the English translation was, is incorrect. That reads in the Hebrew, tuhu vabuhu. It reads, and the earth became without form and void. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. That happened. God did it, and he did it well, as we read in the first part of Genesis. But something happened, eons and eons of time, between verse 1 and verse 2 in Genesis 1. That was when Satan said, I will be God, Lucifer 14, and brought sin into the equation of God's children. We were in the spirit body then. And God was so upset and hurt about that, that God smashed it. And that's what caused it to become void and without form.
Amen. Amen. Okay, our next question. Is there scripture to verify God's law of reciprocity?
Reciprocity, absolutely. Luke 6, I believe it's 38. give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall God cause men to give into your bosom? With the same measure you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, read a little bit. It says, God gives seed to the sower. He's talking about money. Gives bread for your food, supplies what you need, and multiplies your seed sown, increasing the fruits of your righteousness. You are being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us many thanksgivings to God.
Amen.
That'll do it. That works. Okay. Yeah, but I had it memorized. They were holding their breath, and your radio people, they were holding their breath to see if I was going to make that. I have no notes. I'm on high wire up here. Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag, so let's welcome Scott's stuff.
Okay, the Lord told me a little while back, he said, I want you to turn your faith in the belief in me into a faith in the belief of the power of me in and through you.
Oh, that is so good. Please read that again.
Yeah. He said, I want you to turn your faith in the belief of me into the faith in the belief of the power of me in and through you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because he's in us. His Holy Spirit's in us. Most say, I believe in Jesus, he's in me. But we never turn the on switch of the power. We're still trying to heal by our hands. We're still trying to work by our hands. But we've got the power button. And let him do it. It's beautiful, isn't it?
And a lot of people have a real strong faith in the belief of God.
Yes.
But they don't have the faith to activate the power
that's right.
of God, of the Spirit that dwells in us, to release it and release the power of His Word.
That is so great. True. And the power is so strong that you have to be willing to be completely open. You cannot block it. If you block it, it won't work.
Amen.
You have to let it go. And many times it may come through as a shout sound. And that's not crazy. That's God. Remember, He's the Word. So
Amen.
He can make a big shout all He wants to. Well, I am going to pray for the sick, but just before I do, let me pray for those of you who are lost. Won't you accept Jesus? We don't have much time. Come on, let's get saved today.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please wash away my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Please wash away my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Use me. To increase your kingdom.
To increase your kingdom.
I love you.
I love you, Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, in a few minutes, my announcer will give you my telephone number. So if you prayed that, feel free to call and leave your message there. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. I do want you to know that I practice what I preach. We use the oil, James 5, and we pray the scriptures. The anointing comes on us. God touches us, and we always get up again. So same thing for you. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask the Holy Spirit will move from the north, the south, the east, and the west, wherever anyone is hearing my voice. Oh, Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Go into the bronchial tubes, dear God, and unloose all of the phlegm, and in the backbone, the spine, and go into the bowels, the bowel tract, and the colon, and the kidneys, and the backbone, and the spine. Ah, deaf ears here in Jesus' mighty name. Glory, hallelujah. Brains be healed. Feet be perfectly aligned in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I am seeing, I have to tell you what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a pumpkin. So there's someone listening to me and it is associated with a pumpkin. So pumpkin, whoever you are, the Lord is your healer in Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah. And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Well, it's time now for your love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. Now, I'm going to do something that's going to help you forever. I'm going to give you an assignment for the love line each week. I want you to memorize the scripture. You do not know what's going to happen in your life. What if one day you woke up blind and you had nothing, no way to live? And you could not read the word. You do not know what's going to happen. You need the scripture. You don't have time. The devil doesn't tell us when he's coming. He doesn't make appointments. So, your first scripture, and when we put these together, you're going to find that you will have scriptures to equip you to witness for people. This first scripture is Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis chapter 3, 15. This is the first scripture to have any prophecy in the Bible. And it prophesies that Messiah Jesus will come and defeat the devil, whose name is Death, who's also called the serpent. There God is addressing the serpent. He's not a snake. He's a devil. Serpent's one of his names. And God says, "And I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed. And her seed shall bruise your head, and your seed shall bruise his heel." So you see, Jesus did defeat the head of the serpent at the cross. It hasn't been carried out, but it will. And the serpent seed, Cain, who was already then in the womb of Eve by that whole seduction thing. Those were the Kenites pretending to be our beloved brother Judah that said, crucify him, crucify him. They hurt Jesus here on the cross. So your first assignment, see, you already could preach the gospel just with that verse, okay? Genesis 3:15. I'm going to check you on it now. Everybody in Radio Land, I'm going to check you on it. God bless you. Come Sundays 5 p.m. here at the school, and Wednesdays 6:30 p.m. Word and prayer. God bless all of you. I love you. Remember this about Jesus Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. Now, thank you very much for listening. I do pray you're blessed. I love you, and I feel your spirit whether I see you or not, and I'm praying for you. Feel free to call me. And until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson. And we say we love you, we bless you, and may God keep you, and go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Man, I want to tell y'all something, man. Man, I'm not going to let these material things get in my way, y'all. I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
Father God, I am clay in your hands. Help me to stay that way through all life's demands. Cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me. And every little thing I make up my mind to be. Like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix. And I'ma be a husband who stays legit. And I pray that I'm an artist who rises above. The road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me. Though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a feast full of eyes, a low blow to purpose. And I'm a little kid at a three-ring circus.
I don't wanna gain the whole world and lose my soul.
Flashes, say they think that it's you, but they don't know that who you are is not what you do. True, we get it twisted when we peek at the charts. Yo, before we part from the start, where's your heart?
You a pimp?
Hustler, tell me what's your title? America has no more stars, now we call them idols. You said idol, while we teach prosperity. The first thing to prosper should be inside me. Not because of 22s on the range, but Christ came in range. We said yes, now we change. Not the same, even though I met a fall. Since I got that call, no more Saul, now I'm Paul. Yep.
I don't
of this world and fight for our love.
Yes, Lord.
And our passion.
Yes, Lord.
As our eyes are open wide and on you,
talk to
them. Grant us the privilege of your world.
Yes.
And may your kingdom be what wakes us up and lays us down.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Blessed be your name. when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Yes, Lord.
Blessed be. You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. Storms of this life, I won't turn back. I know you are near, and I will feel no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I?
Christ in our marrow carry us home from Alabaster.